So that's been a challenge. Okay, how many daily Bible readers do we have? All right, keep after it. Let's keep going. Okay, and I guess I need my notes, and they're on my phone. All right, so let's turn to Revelation 18. And I want to kind of review a couple things here and then move to chapter 19. Actually, there's a couple things I want to add, but if you remember right, last week we read it and we discussed a few things that were there, and so I want to just go back and get a couple details as we go forward. Okay. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 14. I just want to pick out a few details here. Revelation 18 and verse 14. Somebody read that.
And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all.
Okay. Who was blessed with these things? The followers of Babylon are this, Babylon is confusion, okay? Religious confusion. Now, what kind of things were they blessed with? These are people that are not pleasing to God. God's going to bring them down. Or at this point, this is what's happening here, is God's bringing them down, and they're bewailing all of the good that they've had and the blessings. That they're not there no more, you know? And so, what kind of things did these blessings involved?
Rich and splendid.
Rich and splendid. And so, these are good things. Now, who was it that enjoyed the good things? Those citizens of Babylon. I really think that we see God's goodness and God's blessings. Does God bless everybody? Mm-hmm. Good and evil?
Mm-hmm. He sends the rain on the good and he sends the rain on the evil.
That's right. And so, do you think we've got a responsibility of how we use the blessings that God has given us? Is it possible to misuse the good things that God gives?
I think there's also a phrase at the beginning of that passage that should tell us the difference between them and those that follow God.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you're so longed for, I think the King James says, lust for. If that's what you're after, you got it for now, but it's going to go away.
Okay, good point. You know, those blessings, I mean, and this is where we've got to find this balance, okay? We got to work and earn a living, okay? But do we need to keep it in proper priority? Which priority does it have to have?
Should be third or fourth in the list.
Right. God is always priority over everything, no matter what it is. And so we've got to make sure that God gives us good things. God blesses us richly. But these people use them for their own glory and their own desires, and God took back seat. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Okay. So what does it mean, whatever you do, in word or deed? I'm just as bad as everybody else, Mary. Okay. Me and Mary go back on this. It takes her a little time to get there, and see, she fusses at me a long time. Says people aren't waiting on me to get there, and one of the things that I stress.
178.
Kathy wasn't there either. So.
Verse 17.
Okay, Wayne. I think is everybody there? And I think, I often think of this, and I appreciate Mary for a reminder. We do need to tarry one for another, and I'm bad about it. You know, it's easy for me to not notice. And especially when you get up here and you got a message on your heart and you're trying to deal with it, it's easy to forget that I want everybody to see it with their own eyes. Okay, so go ahead and read that again, Wayne, please.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the faith by Him.
And the Father.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll remind people, okay, now go back and read that again. I remember studying a passage with a young man that he had made up his mind that on what the Bible said. And I had him read a verse out of the Bible. And he read it, and he transposed one word for another. He transposed it the way that he was taught it. And I spent at least 1 hour having him reread that passage. And I would stress, look at every word in that passage. And as he did this, and it took a long time, but finally, as he got more emphatic because he was frustrated, because I was telling him, no, that's not what it says. And so he finally went through it, and I mean purposely picked out each word, and he finally got to that word, and he said, I never saw that before. I said, okay. So at any rate, so I focus on words a lot, because one word can change the meaning. Mm-hmm. And so at any rate, and it's, you know, we all do it, every one of us. We have that same struggle in trying to, it's easy to think one thing and say, you know, see one thing and say something else that's in our mind. So anyway, whatever you do in word or deed, what does that mean? Everything. Is there anything left out? Okay. It's the way we raise our family. You know, today's on the parent-child relationship. Should that be done? Is that something that we do? Okay. The way we fulfill our job at work, whether we strive to put forth our best as a student or a grandmother or, you know, just think about what you do. What about in your life? So whatever you do in word or deed, do what?
Give thanks.
Okay, but there's more there.
Do it all.
Do it in the name of the Lord. So what does it mean in the name of the Lord?
Give Him the glory.
So in other words, if I spit in somebody's face, should I say I'm doing that in the name of the Lord? Is that what that's saying?
Yep.
Oh, goodness. Some people think.
Okay, but so in other words, it's got something different. That doesn't fit in the context, does it? So if we put a definition on that word and replace it there, and it doesn't fit, we know that we've got the wrong definition of the word. And so what does it mean to do it in His name?
His word.
What's that?
His word.
His word? Let's explain that. Be more in depth.
I don't know. Okay, Leanne.
I was being sarcastic, but I'm not sarcastic. It does mean everything that you do in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And your rhetorical response was, so if I spit in someone's face, however, you can do that in the name of the Lord. But if you add the last part of it, giving thanks to the Lord, you're not giving thanks to the Lord, and you're not following His word. Okay. I guess what I'm trying to say is, even when we mess up, and I'm talking about church family, I'm talking about Christians, I'm mm-hmm. talking about believers, even when we mess up, if we follow that passage and we do everything in the name of the Lord, we quickly realize we messed up.
Okay. But how do we know that we messed up? How do we know that it's really not in the name of the Lord? It's if it's in the name of the Lord, what is the determining factor to know whether or not we're doing what that says?
The Bible.
It's the Bible.
Right. I mean, studying the Bible every day.
Yeah. It makes me think about the slogan several years ago, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in everything you do, think, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this...
Right. Does this agree with what he says?
Yeah, what Jesus...
Yeah.
Be happy with.
So, in other words... And the thing is, if they come to you in the name of the law, you know that they have the authority of the law behind them. And that's what this Greek word is trying to get across. Okay? So whatever we do, we need to make sure that we have the authority of the Lord behind us. Okay? If God doesn't agree with that, if I spit in your face and I say, and I believe that I'm doing it in the name of the Lord, I'm not. Because Jesus doesn't allow that. Jesus said to be kind, right? And so I'm living a lie if I'm doing something contrary to what God says. That's the whole thing about this 666, okay? And that's what we need to see. We need to make sure that we follow what he says, that we do it in his name, all right? And so, you know, in fact, you know, as I was studying for this lesson, my mind went back to chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And see, and he concludes the whole thing on this thought. So somebody read, once we get there, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The last page, one of the last couple of verses in the Bible. So Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. And see how this fits in there. I think so.
For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Okay, so you see what's going on here? Whatever you do in word or deed, whether it's what you say or what you do, you better have authority from God. His word. Okay? And so just in this passage, he says, look, whoever adds anything, the plagues will be added. Whoever takes away anything, you're not going to heaven. And so God's pretty serious about his message, okay? And these people that were following, they were of the city of Babylon, confusion. They were taking away things. They were adding things that weren't there. And they were blessed immensely. You know, everything was going their way until the judgment day. Until it all came crashing down. And then everything comes to light. Okay, and so all of a sudden it's known that, oops, we messed up. And so, you know, it no longer is such a wonderful thing. We've had all the dainties and the good things, the wonderful and the rich things. And we've been blessed immensely, but it's all of a sudden been brought to light. The judgment has come. And so that's the thing that we need to see. We can't add to or take away. We can't go beyond what God has said. Okay? Remember in John chapter 8 and verse 32. Go back there. John chapter 8 and verse 32. and 31 and 32. Is everybody there? Okay, somebody read 31 and 32.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Okay, so Jesus said, what's it take to be his disciple?
Abide
in my word, continue in the truth. Okay, all right. And so, what does it mean if we add something to his word or take something away and we're continuing in that? Are we continuing his word?
Is that not
just as logical as the daylight and the dark? Mm-hmm. Understandable? And the thing is, we've got to continue in what?
Studies the Bible.
No, but what do we have to continue in?
Oh. My word.
Yeah. Jesus' word. Okay. So what is Jesus' word?
The Bible.
The Bible. Okay. Specifically?
New Testament.
This New Testament. Okay. Moses said, God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Okay? And so Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was talking with Moses and Elijah, and Peter said, hey, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah. And God speaks down and says, listen to Jesus. Okay, so he still wanted to worship Moses and Elijah. And God says, no, listen to Jesus. And so, now, another question is, what is truth? It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's truth?
What Jesus tells us.
It's in the New Testament.
What? Prove it. I got to have proof.
I am the way, the light, and
the truth. The way, the truth, and the life.
So it's Jesus, but that doesn't make sense. How do I put together that being Jesus? Does that make any sense? How do you make that concrete and something that you can follow? Now, you put together with other things, and I think it can become concrete to where we can grasp it. You know, that thing about, you know, if with that verse by itself, which is very true, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is Jesus, okay? But this is the problem is we got people doing things in his name, but are not by his authority. Okay? Oh, you know, in the name of Jesus, they do a lot of things. All right? But so explain truth. Define truth using the Bible.
Facts according to God.
Facts according to God? Give me a verse. See, that's the catch. Okay? I think we need to be very careful to not stand on anything with having a verse to back us up. Does that make sense? I could get up here and say all kinds of things, and you know, if I had the ability to do it in a flowery way where everybody would just grovel at my feet, you know, and say and follow. But what if I just saying it from me?
John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth.
Okay, let's everybody turn over there to it. John 17, verse 17. Okay, all right.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Who's talking?
Jesus.
Who's Jesus talking to? Who's your?
He's talking to us. He's praying to his disciples, for his disciples.
He's praying to God.
Yeah, he's praying to God for his disciples. Now, in verses 21, 22, and 23, he turns that around, and he's praying for you and me as well. Okay, and so, but Jesus defines truth in that. It's God's word. My word's not truth. Okay? I can speak the things that God says, and that's truth. but only if I'm speaking what God says. Okay? And if God says it, it's truth. Now, what does truth do to you?
Set you free.
Set you free. What happens if you don't have truth? What if you change it? What if you add to or take away from the truth?
It's not the truth.
It's not the truth. And what are you?
Not free.
You're not free. You're bound by the whore. You're a citizen of Babylon. And see, and that's where all of this is coming in. And it as it's transpired, we see it. This picture becoming clearer as we go through the book of Revelation. And so we've already seen that we're looking at truth as we've worked on this journey through this book, right? But now we need to put the application all together, and we need to see what the message is all about, because see, these things were written in signs, okay? They were written in signs. And this is why God says, blessed is the person that reads and understands the book of Revelation. Okay? And so we need to see these things. You know, everybody's looking for a 666 on somebody's forehead. Look, it's a sign. Okay? And if you don't read the first three verses, you miss the whole thing. And if you try to put other ideas to these than what that which fits within the Bible, you're going to have troubles, and you're not going to have what it says. So we better not add to or take away. We need to leave what it says, and not just in the book of Revelation, but throughout the entire Bible. This was a theme that we see that God said under the law of Moses. He said, don't you add thereunto or diminish aught from it in the book of Deuteronomy. You can't change what God says. You do. You're in trouble. And so we see that happening as Nehemiah or Ezra, can't remember, they were coming back and they were getting the city going. And they had all these people that were bringing their wares into Jerusalem and selling them on the Sabbath day. And so all of these people were violating that Old Testament command by dealing in wares and conducting business on the Sabbath day. And I was going to go back and look and see which one it was, and I didn't do it as I was studying. But they closed the door, the gate to the city, on the Sabbath day. And they all waited outside for them to open the gate, and he wouldn't allow it to be open. The second Saturday, they did it again, and they were still waiting. And after that, they kind of quit coming because they got the message. They made that little change from what God has said, and God wasn't pleased with them. And their whole nation was cursed because of it, as you read within that context. So, okay, we're out of time.